So good to have everybody here this morning. God is so good to us, isn't he? I mean, he really is. All the time, he is. Yep, he really is. Oh my goodness. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that 2 days of summer. Man, I'll tell you what, 90 degrees, we're just not used to that, are we? Wow, that was like, whoo, it's hot out. Yeah, my tomatoes ripened in 2 days. It was crazy, yeah. Oh, it is. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We live in a beautiful part of the world. Amen. We see a lot of beautiful people up here. In fact, a lot of people that move up here that aren't so beautiful, they turn beautiful. You know, we really are. We're very fortunate. We're very, very fortunate to have such a positive and such a beautiful environment. And we're very fortunate to have an environment where it's easier to hear the Lord speak. It really is. I don't know how many of you have been other places visiting or lived in other places, but I'll tell you, I don't know about me personally. It's easier for me to find space here and just take time to listen to God. I'm very, 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 very happy to come home every time I go someplace where there's a lot more people. And don't get me wrong, if God called me to where there's a lot more people, I'm sure that he would give you that place and give you that difference, that change that you need to hear his voice. But we are very, very fortunate. Last week we started looking at Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And we went into 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we read the story about the boy Samuel when God spoke to him. He was an adolescent at this point in time. God started speaking to Samuel very clearly. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord. He wanted to be as close to God as he possibly could because he really wanted to hear God's voice. He really wanted. He knew. He'd heard the stories. You know, probably heard the stories of, man, God used to speak. He used to speak through the prophets. He used to speak in the temple. He used to appear. You know, and in this story with Samuel, God spoke to him. And he misinterpreted what was going on, and he went and asked Eli, the priest, okay, what do you want? And Eli a couple times did. Finally, he said, look, it must be God talking to you. Next time, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the last time when we read this story, there's a change that a lot of time is very subtle, but very, very many times people, they miss this change. And that change was, it says that the Lord stood in his midst and he spoke. The Lord stood there. And I believe when we train ourselves to hear God, I believe he gets closer and closer and closer to us. And so today we're going to talk about things that maybe inhibit that closeness that we have with God, that God wants with us. We're going to also talk about things that basically help that closeness. You see, when the Lord speaks, I want to ask you today, what are you hearing? And primarily, let me clarify this question. Primarily, are you hearing a redemptive tone? My wife says that I have a tone. And she's right. Man, I can get into that tone really fast, can't I? I don't know if it's probably a part of my heritage. It's a part of my upbringing. It's a part of all that Irish blood in me. I always blame that, but I really shouldn't. But, you know, I can get a tone. And what's the tone? When God is speaking to you, and we can have good tones and bad tones, and I'm working on good tones, and we hear the tone of God's voice. We hear him speaking to our heart. We hear him speaking through Scripture. We hear him speaking, you know, through the people around us, and not always just Christians. You know, the whole mass of humanity around us, God can use that voice. God used a donkey for crying out loud. So, you know, I think he can use just a common old person that doesn't even know Jesus yet. But what is the tone? Is it redemptive or is it corrective? Because God has two tones. I like the redemptive tone. Everybody raises their hand, yeah? And then I have heard the corrective tone more times than I'd like to admit. And God has a corrective tone. Now, don't get me wrong. When God uses his corrective tone, it's like you are going to burn in hell. Now, that... is the old, let's scare people into heaven technique. Didn't work. Because God never intended us to scare people into heaven. He intended Christ. Christ showed us that he's loving people into relationship with him. So when God's tone is corrective, it's like, you know, I think you could do better. Isn't there a difference in that? It's like, what's wrong with you, dummy? Why don't you get it? That's one tone, right? Or, you know, I love you so much, I think you could do it better. Now, for you, those of you that are teachers and you know how this works, doesn't that work a lot better? It's hard sometimes because, you know, you just want to look at them and hit them, you know? But God is that tone. He said, I love you so much, I think you can do better. And so what we do is we mistake God's corrective tone. Sometimes we mistake that tone because we think we're hearing him, but we're not. We're hearing the world or we're hearing the devil saying, wake up, dummy, you're going to hell. You're so stupid. Man, if you start hearing things like that and you think it's God's voice, you're listening to the wrong voice. Turn the channel on the radio. Whack the wax out of your ears, because God's corrective tone is a tone of love. You see, what we hear depends upon our location. If I didn't have this microphone on and we had the doors open and I was standing out in the parking lot preaching, it'd be pretty hard for you to hear, wouldn't it? And it's the same way with God. Location, 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 right? It's the same way with God, okay? Our location depends upon what we hear. And so we need to be in a place where we are close to the Father's heart. Just like Samuel, he wanted to get as close to God as he possibly could. At that point in time, God said, I will presence myself with the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. God promised he'd be there. So Samuel got as close to the Ark of the Covenant as he could. Now, we know now that we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and the Holy Spirit makes us the temple of God. But we have to fuel that fire. We have to stay in a relationship with God where his presence is not quenched. Because it says we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can say no, and he backs off. And so we need to make sure that our location is like Samuel. And there's three things that I want to talk about. These aren't the only three things that will help us with this location thing. There's three things, okay? Just like Samuel, we need to be physically present. We need to set time aside, okay? Physically present. We need to be mentally present. We need to be engaged in interaction. I learned a new term this week. I love new terms. It's called individualism and cocooning. If you Google it, you guys, we are in a generation of individualism and cocooning. You know what that means? That means we spend a lot of time looking at screens and not paying attention to people. Right? We don't interact. Right? Okay? A lot of people live a ways away from their job now. You know, not so much here, but in cities. They spend a lot of time driving in their car. They spend a lot of time in an office. They spend a lot of time going home and just vegging out and watching. And see, God says this. He says, I need you to be engaged. I need you to be mentally engaged. And you know, it used to be a newspaper. We used to get the newspaper. I love current events. I love to read, okay? And we got a newspaper, and Cindy would be talking to me, and I'd be looking over at her over the top of the newspaper. I was like that guy on that one TV show. What was his name? Looked over the fence. Wilson, yeah. I was like that with my newspaper. And we'd be talking, and Cindy would be talking, and I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think one time she said something really bizarre, and I went, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then my brain, you know, like, hey, I just spent $2 million. Is that okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What? God, sometimes we're like that with God. God is trying to speak to us, and we're going, yeah, 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 right? So we need to be engaged, okay? And then we need to be spiritually tuned in. We need to be, there's two things that will keep us spiritually tuned in. To be actively thanking God. Actively thanking God. When you see something that's just amazing or beautiful, what comes into your mind? After that, the creation presentation that we've been doing in the men's study, man, I see stuff now and it's like, wow, that's God. That's God. That's God. That's God. That's God. I mean, I always enjoyed the Northern Lights when we lived up north, but I found out why they happen. That is so cool. You know, particles bombard the atmosphere, push our magnetic field in kind of an oblong position, and it creates the Northern Lights. And I was like, this is so cool. So it's God. Do we thank him for that? Do we thank him for the magnetic field that protects us from gamma rays? I do now. because I know about it, right? And the more we think about the things around us and look for the things that God is involved in, the more we can thank Him, okay? Secondly, daily reviewing our life and living in forgiveness. Man, I had someone this week assume an offense for me. And I'll be really honest, I wanted to encourage that because they were standing up for me. Have you ever had anybody stand up for you? But they assumed the offense. I mean, at first I went, whoa. And then I was like, okay, you know, that person is having a bad day or something. Or, you know, maybe I picked on this person a year or two ago and they were just getting even. Who knows? But this person assumed this offense. And a couple days later, they said, man, that was just wrong. And I said, you know, we have kind of a history and it's much better now. But I'm sure that part of that, I said, please, I said, don't let that bother you because I'm not. And they looked at me and they're like, what? I said, no, really, just forgive them. Let it go. And I said, thank you for standing up for me. I mean, they didn't, you know, like come in and say, hey, you've got no right doing that. But they were offended, you see. So we need to live in a place of forgiveness every day. You know, with ourselves, with other people, with the world, you know, with our past. We do. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Any three of these areas will affect the clarity of what God is saying to us. If we short any three of them, there's 33 and a .333. They're very even in our walk of hearing God. We need all three of them. If we take one out of the equation, you know, it's like when I get up in the morning, I primarily have caffeine. Yes, that's the first thing. Dairy products and protein. And some days I can live on Rice Chex, but it's not fun, okay? I like protein. I like eggs and bacon. I like eggs and ham. But if I take any of those out of the equation, if you take anything out, if I take the coffee out of the equation, that's like time spent with God. I turn into ugly, okay? If I take protein out of the equation, protein is like that, you know, need to be mentally present thing. If I take the protein, then I'm weak and I fall out. And if I take, okay, the bottom line of, say, a dairy product like cheese or something like that, it's a long, long, long lasting. You know, it's something that builds up the calcium in your body, something that keeps your body going for the long haul. That is like just not living in thanksgiving and forgiveness. So you see, it's very, very crucial we have all three of these things. To determine how we're doing, I want us to take a spiritual test this morning. And that's why I made sure everybody has their own piece of paper and their own pen. And if I gave you that pen, or if it's a solid rock pen, please keep it and give it away to somebody and tell somebody about our wonderful website, you know, and tell them, hey, go over there and look at it and listen to Pastor Jim, listen to this thing on how to hear God, whatever, and just start sharing as many of the resources we have here in our body as you possibly can. So how do we take a spiritual test? Well, we're going to take it like a hearing test, okay? First of all, let's talk about number one. How much time did you set aside for God this week? How much time were you physically present for God? You know, and when you're done, you can fold this and put it in your pocket so nobody sees it. Because if it's a lot of time, you don't want to make somebody feel bad. And if it's not a lot of time, you don't want to make yourself feel bad. Okay? Secondly, what did you read, listen to, or talk about that made you think about God? What brought your mental attitude into God's presence, or what brought God into your presence, okay? Was it something you read, something that you listened to, like music, or, you know, there's so much stuff on Christian radio right now that's amazing, just amazing. Or was it someone you talked to, or somebody in you were interacting, and it just, man, it was God's presence was there. And then thirdly, what did you thank God for? And what did you ask forgiveness for? And this is to be spiritually tuned in. When we develop an attitude of gratitude, okay? When we develop an attitude of gratitude, we stay in a really, really good place with God. Rick Warren, Cindy brought something to my attention that Rick Warren says. He says, you've got needs and you've got greeds. Isn't that interesting? We have needs and we have greeds. And when we're in an attitude of gratitude, we thank God for our needs and we live in our needs. But when we're not in that attitude of gratitude, we want more. And usually if we're not in an attitude of gratitude, it's not more of God we want, it's more of stuff. And you get into that need for greed, the greedy things. Need for things we don't really need. You know, our society, the whole world in fact, is in this consumerism trap where we're buying stuff for the sake of stuff. And what God is saying to us is, he said, if you stay in a thankful attitude, if your attitude is where it belongs, you won't have the need for greed. You'll be very, very, very happy and satisfied with what you have. And God promised to meet our needs, not our greeds. You know, a lot of people, they kind of, you know, forget that. He promises to meet our, we will never be impoverished in the spirit. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you alone. And I will provide for your needs. And if you look at our needs are pretty base. Clothing, food, shelter, safety, interaction, intimacy. God says, I'll provide all of those. I'll provide all those. And he says he'll do it in himself and he'll do it in the people around us if our attitude is one of gratitude. So what did you thank God for? And then secondly, is your slate clean? Did you own your stuff? You know, I many of you know Sean Dunn, Groundwire Sean Dunn. He and I have been friends for a long, long time. And he and I have a bend for sarcasm. We were thinking about becoming a comedy team and becoming sarcastic, but it's kind of hard to be a Christian sarcastic comedy team. And so we were at a place in our relationship where it got really, really bad. I mean, to the point where we went over the line on our sarcasm towards one another. And one day, I think it was Sean, because he's just that kind of guy. He said, you know, we need to stop this. And he said, I want to be your sarcasm county buddy. And I was like, I want you to be mine. And I was like, are you kidding? This is so much fun. And now we have to stop doing it. But you know something? We started owning our stuff. And our relationship has flourished. And do we still throw one out there every once in a while? We do. And we have, you know, this little thing like, really? I thought that you were my accountability buddy, you know. And we laugh about it and we ask for forgiveness. It was over the line. But you know, the thing is we need to own our stuff. I met an amazing person this week who's really, you know, working on the relationship with the Lord. And we were visiting, and they said, you know, this is the weirdest thing. He said, I'm kind of new to this whole walk and, you know, in forgiveness and faith. And he said, when I was in high school, and this wasn't very long ago, this is a younger person. When I was in high school, I socially attacked a person. And I found it hard to believe because this person's really a very nice individual. And I went, okay. And he said, I haven't thought about that for like 3 or 4 years. And it just popped up last week and it won't go away. What do I do? And I said, own it. He goes, okay, how do I own it? And I said, well, do you feel bad about it? And he said, yeah. I said, that's the first step. I said, can you get in contact with this person? Yeah. I said, call him, tell him you're sorry, ask for forgiveness. And he's just like, okay, that's uncomfortable. And I go, yeah, that's really uncomfortable. Okay, so what will that do? I said, well, it'll do one of two things, but both accomplish the same task. Whatever it does, it will set you free. Whatever it does, it will set you free. If you own your stuff, it's going to set you free. And I said, if you call this person and they say, hey, you know, jump off a cliff, okay, you've done what you feel like you're going to do, and I want you to move on, and I want you, you know, to think about that person and pray for that situation, and let that experience train you never to do it again. He goes, oh, trust me, I will never do that again. I feel so crummy about it. And I said, yeah, what did you call this person? It wasn't that bad of a name, but talk about the sensitivity of some people's spirits, right? It's awesome. And I said, or the second thing it's going to do is that person is going to forgive you, and you're going to move on in your relationship, you know, because he knew this person from high school for a long time, and it's going to move on. He said, well, we were never really friends. I said, yeah, but at least you won't have this in you. And if they accept that and move on, at least you can be amicable. At least there won't be that uncomfortable feeling. There won't be that residue. There won't be that garbage that you're carrying around right now. And so, you know, okay, I'm going to do it. And so about 3 hours later, I get a phone call. I did it. I said, what happened? He said, well, it didn't go real bad, but it didn't go real good. I said, right in the middle? He goes, yeah. I said, well, right in the middle is pretty good. I said, you know, I mean, right in the middle is pretty good. You feel better? Oh, man, I feel like somebody, you know, totally took this weight off my life. I said, there you go. I said, you just learned what God's about. He's about helping you deal with your stuff and taking it away. That's what God does. So doing these things, okay, you know, look at your list and think about it. How can I do better? I mean, let's face it, it's hard to schedule time, right? It's hard to be mentally present, hey? I mean, and it's hard to be thankful until we get into that, you know. I think Cindy's got all kinds of Thanksgiving exercises. Like, you got to be thankful for, you know, every letter in the alphabet, you know. You always come up and see, and she told me I couldn't use the same one, you know. But there's so many different exercises to bring that Thanksgiving. And, you know, forgiveness is pretty easy because you go to God and you say, okay, Lord, is there something today that I did or something that maybe... And it's the thing about forgiveness, it's about our stuff. It's about us owning our stuff. It's not about that other person. It's not about somebody offending you, because, you know, that happened to me this week and somebody else took on the offense and had to deal with that. You know, but it's about our stuff, okay? And so we go to God and we say, okay, Lord, what can I do? God forgives us immediately. And then the Holy Spirit, sometimes we have to pray for an outcome. But the Holy Spirit says, I am here, you pray, and I will eventually bring the resources to resolve this, to heal it. But you want to know something? Our first thing is to basically get it right with God. And stay there with God. Stay there and say, okay, God, over and over and over, I want this to be right. I want this to be right. And then when God opens the door for us, usually in fear and trembling, to say, oh, you want me to deal with it today? Whoa. Whoa. Hey. I'm kind of sharing quite a bit about what goes on in my life, because it's something I can share and not embarrass somebody else, okay? Years ago, I was in a situation with a person that I did not like. No, it's not that I didn't like him. I hated his guts, okay? And one time I threw him off up a deck. Fortunately, he didn't break anything, because he did something that angered me tremendously to somebody else. And so, and I basically, at that point in time, if I ever see you again, I'm going to put you in the hospital. I said that. Maybe even worse. I don't know. And it was about 20 years later. And you know something? I got to the point where God brought that up in my prayers, and it really bothered me. Don't you think, huh? Maybe it should have, you know, as when I got saved. You know, it really bothered me. And there was, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know that's wrong. And God worked on my heart, worked on my heart. Finally, you know, I was like, okay, God, I really need to get a hold of this person. I need to see. Well, this is back when we were, you know, in high school. And this is like 15 years, 20 years later. I have no idea. And I tried to find the person, you know, and sometimes people just can't be found. And I was just like, oh, Lord, what if he died? Because he was kind of a bonehead, you know. What if he went out and did something really stupid, made somebody mad that was bigger than me or whatever, and they threw him off a mountain or something. But anyway, I prayed about him. And one day I was walking through the mall in Rapid City, and I looked up, and here this guy is. And man, I was like, whoa, I, you know, and then we just stopped. And I kind of went like that, and I think he thought that I was going to tackle him or something. You know, because I was shocked, and he spun around, and I go, wait, don't run, please don't run. And he turned around, and I go, man, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I was so wrong. Then he almost ran because I think he thought I was really a psychopath. But no, he stopped. And we visited and I asked for forgiveness and he forgave me. He said, you know, we all, this is what he said, we all did a lot of stupid things back then. And now I was stupid, but he said, that wasn't very smart throwing me off that deck. I mean, it was a second story deck, you know. I go, no, that wasn't. And I said, please, I said, forgive. You know, and when we see each other, now at least he doesn't run. And I got the freedom of knowing that that's okay. It's taken care of. The stuff is gone. So when we get busy, what we try to do is we try to push all of these three things in the background. We really do. And it's easy to do. And you know why it's easy to do? Because of God's merciful nature. Think about that. It's easy to do, okay? It's easy to kind of push God back a little bit and say, well, God, you know, I need time or I need resources or I need this for other things. Because of God's merciful nature, because of his loving nature, he's that father. He's not that father. It's like, you better listen to me or he's not that God. Listen to what it says in the scriptures. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, it says, but because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions, and it is by grace you have been saved. Now, this scripture deals with our salvation, but it mostly deals with God's personality, his characteristics, who he is. Because he is rich in mercy, because he loves us. He is a loving, merciful God. And it says, because of that, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. Christ died for your sins before you recognized them. And he continues to do so. The wonderful thing about being a Christian is the Holy Spirit brings into our spirit, if we don't let our hearts be calloused, he brings into our spirit the realization that I need to deal with this because of his love and his mercy and his grace. So you see, what God does, it says, you know, he made us alive. He's done all this in love. And there's another reason that it's kind of easy to put God back there for a while and forget about him. Because of his nature, he's patient. If we go to 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This scripture is also tied into that scripture that says, with God, a day is like 1,000 years. You know that whole thing? God's very patient, you know? You know, God is up in heaven and he's watching us and the Holy Spirit's nudging on our heart. And you know, I sometimes I see the Holy Spirit going up to God where I'm involved, okay? And he's like, really? Look, God, really? You see what that guy's doing down there? Really? How long is this going to go on? And God's just up there going with a big grin on his face going, wait for it. Wait for it. Because he loves us so much, he brings things into our lives. He brings situations into our lives to nudge us back to him. And sometimes those nudges are pretty, man, they're pretty bammo. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes those nudges are big ones because we need that big nudge. But usually God's just up there. It says he's patient with us. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Here's the truth about this scripture. This scripture was written to Christians, not to unbelievers. And the truth about this scripture is this, is that God says, when you got some stuff and when you're not quite there, I'm patient and I'm waiting for you to repent. I'm waiting for you to come back to that sweet spot with me. Not just unbelievers. So many times, these two scriptures, we use these scriptures, you know, to tell people about the love of God, but the love of God envelops all of us also. And God's saying, I'm here for you, and I am patient with you, and I'm waiting for you, and I want everyone to come to repentance. In the scripture, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that anger, that word anger, means missing the mark with God. You know, being in a place where your attitude and your relationship isn't where it needs to be. Anger, it separates us. What? Anger separates us from people. It separates us from the joy of the Lord. Anger separates us from so many things. And God says, I am being patient, and I want you to come to repentance. I want everyone to come to repentance. I want everyone. What's repentance? He waits for us to repent. What is it? Okay, repentance is basically this. It's like, whoa, I'm going the wrong way. Okay, I think I'll go this way. It's not very hard when we see the dangers. Years ago, working for the gas company, I came up to this field, and I was about ready to climb over the fence in this field. And everybody's going, oh, there was a big bull on the other side of that fence. No, there were three stinking camels on the other side of that fence. I walk up to that fence, and I see these camels, and I think, cool, camels. Not knowing. And so many times, what are we doing? We're walking along in our life, and we're kind of playing with it. We're thinking, hey, this is cool. You know, God's not bumping against anything yet. I think maybe I can go here, you know. And all of a sudden, we look up and we go, whoa, cool, camels. And then I watch these camels as they come running down towards the fence going, you know, making all these noises. And they come up to the fence and they start kicking forward and throwing dirt. And one spins around, starts throwing dirt at me, and they're spitting. They can spit like 20 feet. And I'm like, this is not happening. I'm not, you know. That stretch of gas line only got checked by the air for like 3 years. Because, yeah, Joseph Meyer's camels, they might have been nice to the people up here at the Passion Play, but they didn't like people on their land, okay? And see, that's the way it is with us. We're like, okay, God, I'm just going along. And then all of a sudden we realize, whoa, I got to stop, and we go the other way. Why? So we don't get stomped by the camels. So we don't get destroyed by the sin. So that we don't live a life in misery. Because God says, just turn around, come this way, come back here to me. And regroup. And that's what he wants us to do. You see, he waits for us. And when we don't daily clean our slate, how many of you have ever been stuck up in the air in an airplane going around in circles? A holding pattern is what they call. It is a tool of the devil. It really is. And you're up there and you're flying around, and usually you're flying around. The enemy knows when you need to be in an airport to get to someplace else, and you get stuck in a, and that's what happens in our life. We get stuck in a holding pattern, and we don't make the connections we need to make to have a successful and joyful life. God says, you can just be in this holding pattern as long as you want. I got all this really cool stuff for you once you land, and we can continue on. But we get stuck in this holding pattern. We don't daily clean our slate because we're circling around in the same old stuff. And God says it's time. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that first word, bear, I realize it looks like, argh, but it doesn't mean walk up to somebody and go, argh. I mean, we're already doing that, okay? God says, bear with them, forgive them, okay? Because God wants you to move on. And 1 John 1:5-9, man, I love this. This is, John so had the heart of Jesus. He was so, man, the guy was, oh, he was so emotionally attached to Jesus. And he was a mental giant in his day. He wrote things that were like, whoa. And he was a mental giant because he was so in tune with the Holy Spirit. He really let God use him as a medium of his love and of his expressive word. Listen to what he says here. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. This is a message we've heard from Jesus. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. This is a model for living. Keep a clean slate. He says, keep a clean slate. we've heard this from Jesus. Jesus said, look, you're in the light. Keep walking in the light. And the wonderful thing about this scripture is so many times people think, once we become Christians and if we fail, man, we're in trouble. We're never going back. Right there it says, but if we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus, in the Greek it means, if we continually confess before God our failures, the blood of Jesus continually purifies us from our sins. Because he's a perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, every time they sinned, they had to go down and they had to, you know, kill an animal because of the blood sacrifice. We don't do that anymore. We go to God. We go to the temple of God, which is the Holy Spirit within us, because God is connected to us, and we say, okay, God, today wasn't a good day, or God, it was a great day, thank you, whatever. But we keep this tally, this slate clean before God, and he says, and when we do that, he is just and faithful, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. It's a process of getting better. It's kind of like the process of getting healthy, right, Ken? Man, we just start praying. God starts working. You go see that God puts you in touch with the right people, with the right, you know, medication, the right stuff. And it's the same way with our walk with God. We get in that place, in that sweet spot with God, and we stay there. And when we, the longer we stay there, the quicker we know we're not there. God says, I love you this much. I love you this much. Walking in the light, we hear his voice clearly. There's one other thing I would just want to leave you, a little tidbit, that sound travels differently. Our voice travels differently in the light than it does in the dark. Isn't that interesting? We can't notice it measurably, but scientifically, our sound waves travel faster in the light because there are more particles, okay, gamma ray, ultra ray, all the particles that the sun, the earth blocks those particles. When we're in the light, our voices travel not a, you know, like a millionth of a bazillionth of a second faster, but they've traced it. And I thought, now, that's just the light of our sun. It says that the light of God is so intense that no one can stand before it and not be consumed. And they think that possibly the closer that you could get to the sun, the more intense the light, the faster sound travels. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? That if we walk in the light, if we're closer to God, we're going to hear his voice more clearly. It's a truth. We truly are. Because we're not circling in our past failures. We're not carrying all this stuff and getting worn out. Instead, we get up every morning, we go to bed every night, and throughout the day we walk waiting for his words, waiting for his nudgings, waiting to see something that God's doing. And what we do is we train ourselves. We train ourselves to see more and more and more of that. Because we're walking in the light, we can see it, we can hear it. God says, here it is, here's the light. So I just encourage you to fold up your paper, put it in your Bible, your pocket, and throughout the week, just think about, Lord, how can I be closer to you? How can I improve? What do I need to do? Because, Lord, I want all of you. I want all of you. You know, when you're in an awesome relationship, you just want it all. And you can't be in a better relationship than you can with God. So let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in us. And I pray, Lord, that we can just listen to you on these three things. That we can listen to you, Father, about, you know, being physically present, about being mentally present and being spiritually tuned in with you. Father, I pray that you would just tap us on the shoulder, pull us on the ear, do a psst, psst, get our attention. And Father, draw us closer and closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.